Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Faster than a speeding bullet.
Allen steps up in the pocket, going to take off and run. Has the first down and more. To the 40, to the 35, 30. Breaks away. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Josh Allen.
More powerful than a locomotive.
Now he's going to take it and run, and he's got the first down and more. 10, 5, and muscles his way into the end zone for an unbelievable 26-yard touchdown run. Are you kidding me?
Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first.
Look. Up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Josh Allen.
Go Bills.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Bills have a 36% chance at the one seed, according to ESPN's analytics. Have that on the screen right now. Good morning. It is a Victory Monday, Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Bit of league news. Ian Rappaport is reporting the Giants are indeed benching Daniel Jones. Drew Lock goes to the starting lineup for the New York Giants. Back to the Bills, of course, who got the win. Josh Allen with a big day running and passing the ball. Bills offense did the job. Oh, the Josh Allen offense did the ball. Did the job. Running the ball, tough sledding for James Cook and Ray Davis and everybody.
And I looked at his next-gen stats chart. Like, there were downfield passes. Knox down the field, Cooper down the field. He targeted Cooper three times. It was all the same route, basically, down there. Samuel got a little bit down the field as well. Shakir caught a pass past the sticks a few times. Like, I don't have the total air yards in this game, but I bet it's going to be one of the highest games of the year for Allen.
For Allen's QBR was an 83. His quarterback rating was an 83. I mean, interception will bring that down. Yeah. Mahomes getting picked off twice. First interception, he just airmails one.
Yeah.
And because of contact. And the second one, you know, a little bit desperate. Kareem Hunt, 14 for 60. Not much for the Chiefs running the ball either. Had a 17-yard run. Xavier Worthy, 4 catches, a touchdown. 61 yards, 4 catches on 5 targets.
And that was all in the first half, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. Kind of another one of these, you know, the Bills maybe feeling out their opponent a little bit. Like, Worthy, it was working in the first half, and then the Bills' defense came out in the second half, and he had nothing.
I'm starting to buy into the whole idea that the Bills spend the first half feeling out their opponent, and they lock them down in the second half.
Right.
I mean, the Chiefs did get a touchdown drive, but...
That was it. Their second half, again, not that it was even super different than their first half, but that touchdown drive was it.
Yep.
They had no other points. They had 3 punts. They had the interception at the end of the game. Yeah, that was it.
We have open phone lines. Give us a call, 803-0550. What did the win mean to you? What does it mean for the conversation? One prediction I had for you, Joe, and we're seeing it on ESPN right now, I said if Josh Allen outplays Patrick Mahomes, the conversation about who the best quarterback in the NFL is open. And this morning, Damian Woody, they put it on the screen. Josh Allen's the best quarterback in the NFL right now. Who would you argue against? I mean, Lamar's having a great year. He did not have a great week. Allen, right. Justin Herbert's looking very nice. Joe Burrow looks pretty nice right now. Jared Goff had another freak show game because the Lions absolutely just boat race teams. Mm-hmm. And Bills Lions is going to be a juicy one. Like that's your next check.
Look at us. After years and decades of Bills Lions as being the joke of the fourth preseason week, now it's like the game of the NFL that we're looking forward to in the final month.
Yeah, there might be another game of the year or two on the way. I mean, the Niners come in from last year's Super Bowl champs to last year's NFC champs, who did just lose to Seattle. So anyway, 803-0550.
You could argue he is the best quarterback in the league right now. Is this Groundhog Day, though? Like, do we do this every year? The day after we wake up after Bills Chiefs?
The difference is Mahomes is rarely this pedestrian.
Yeah, that's true.
His season, his stats are ugh.
Yeah.
He's got
They took another big hit yesterday.
Yeah.
Under 200 yards, two more picks. He has 11 on the season. Allen, I think, only has 6.
Mahomes has 15.
He missed Worthy again yesterday. Worthy could have got the feed in, but
15 touchdowns, 11 picks for Mahomes. And this is not good.
No,
by his standard.
And if you're tracking MVP or thinking about that, I mean, I don't think he has any case for it. I mean,
he
might win it if they get the one seed and
no way
they lose one game.
He's got no case.
I don't think he does. I don't think he does either. I would never in a million years vote for him. So Lamar would be the guy just because of the numbers, but they've lost 4 games now.
That's right. Yeah, and if they're a wild card team, that's going to be tougher
for
them.
And there's nobody on Pittsburgh you're giving that award to.
I don't think so. You might give, comeback.
Tomlin could win coach of the year, I guess.
He could, despite actively working against his own team's interests with fourth down decision making.
Yeah.
Tomlin yesterday, we'll get back to the Bills, had five go-for-its.
Were they all field goals, though?
No, punts, field goals.
Okay, all right. Because they win by kicking field goals.
I guess so.
They win by kicking field goals. Listen, one thing he deserves.
Get ready when they play the Bills. Good luck. Good luck when kicking with field goals.
Well, here's what's going on with Tomlin right now, too. He's got the biggest ego in the league right now. He's walking around. He's always got the sunglasses on now, by the way. Have you noticed that? Tomlin hasn't taken those sunglasses off in a year. He against his own staff's wishes.
Yeah, Russell Wilson.
He put Wilson in. And that's looking good.
Yep.
And I think that move alone is going to really do him a lot of credit for winning Coach of the Year this year. And for his own ego. I mean, he's walking around with his chest puffed out. Like he feels like he's got a real winner probably for the first time in years.
We'll see.
Would you pick him to beat the Chiefs right now? That game's in Pittsburgh, I think, at Christmas.
I might pick them to beat the Chiefs. I wouldn't pick them to beat the Bills.
I would not pick them to beat the Bills either.
So 803-0550, what's that win mean for you? The Bills beat the Chiefs again.
I think what you just said means you think the Bills are the best team in the AFC.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
What a transition year this is turning out to be. It still is a transition year, by the way.
I do.
Transition technically is the definition of transition says nothing about what their win-loss record is going to be. It's just that you have different people than you had before, which is still true.
Yeah. And what's happened is the other teams in your division are terrible, so you don't have a race.
Yeah, they're a joke.
I mean, if the Bills were in the division with the Chargers, they would have a race. If the Bills were in the division with the Steelers or the Ravens, they'd have a race. Instead, they have three teams. One that's a massive disappointment in the Jets, a joke. Another that has the Patriots with a young quarterback is starting to look okay. And then the Dolphins lost their starter for multiple games. Adam Schefter says it's going to be Tommy DeVito starting for the Giants and not Drew Lock. I don't believe that.
What?
I don't believe it. I'm sorry. I don't believe it.
Come on. He just tweeted it.
I don't believe it. Anyway.
I've been holding Drew Lock in a Superflex league all year waiting for this, and it's not going to be him?
Andy in Charlotte. What's up, Andy? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I'll go with the Go Bills to start off. You got to have somebody complaining about the officiating. I'm going to do it. And not even on that blatant missed face mask in the fourth quarter. This is 2 weeks in a row, guys. It's that old drill where you punch out the football or the defenders try to punch out the football from the runner. Josh, 2 weeks in a row, has just gotten bumbled. It happened on a fourth down play late in the game against the Colts. There was a guy in one of those scrum piles moving. They are punching the man, and a couple hit in the helmet. And I know that's a fist on a helmet. Doesn't feel great. But on the big play last night, on the 4th-and-2, watch as Josh breaks the plane to the goal line. The chief defender hits him with a right cross in the face mask. Mm-hmm. And there's not even a penalty on it. I don't get it. I mean, literally hitting the man in the face.
Yeah, I'm starting to get on this a little bit in all of football. It's more of a big picture thing for me. And by the way, They didn't call a penalty on that. It technically wouldn't matter anyway because he got in the end zone, right? So, like, I'm not worried about that too much. They did fine the guy last week.
And I bet they fine the guy this week.
They should, because it feels like I'm noticing it more and more that players are getting punched in the face, punched in the ribs, punched in the kidneys, just because we're going for the peanut punch. So you're allowed to punch guys wherever. But if you're getting fined, then I guess you're not allowed to punch guys wherever. Honestly, though, for me, like, I know they missed the face mask that was an important moment in the end of the first half. In general, I do not think that was one-sided at all. If anything, it might have been one-sided on the Bills' front. Christian Benford could have very easily been called for pass interference on DeAndre Hopkins when he was holding him 30 yards down the field and there was no call. And that was on a third and long. That they didn't, they kept the flag in their pocket on one that could have easily been a 30-yard pass interference. They also kept their flag in their pocket when Mac Hollins drilled the guy covering Curtis Samuel on a play that ended up in the end zone for the Bills. That would have been an easy offensive pass interference. They didn't call it. So I'm not saying the Bills got all the calls in this game, but it was not the day for me to say, oh, the Chiefs get all the calls.
There's so much attention, thanks, Andy, paid to officiating, like going into the game like, oh, this guy likes to call these penalties, and these are the teams, and now they're setting it up for the Chiefs. And like the day after, no one remembers a thing about it. Like, oh, Land Clark, the Bills are going to get dinged for procedure penalties. Didn't happen. But what people want is,
I think they only had, did the Bills have three penalties in the game total?
Yeah, let's be real. What people want is no penalties called. That's right. What we want as viewers. Stop calling 24 penalties in a game. How many penalties should be called? Probably somewhere around like 7. Yeah. I don't care who they're on. Split it relatively evenly, and then I won't complain too
much. The Bills had three penalties for 24 yards in the game. The Chiefs had 6 for 57.
Okay.
Which even that's not like a crazy number.
No.
Like, you didn't have a lot of penalties
There's
called in this game.
There's a holding penalty on a Mahomes scramble.
Yep.
Oliver got held.
Dorian Williams destroyed Mahomes on the last play of the game. They could have called roughing the passer. They didn't.
Yeah. Dan in Buffalo. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Morning, guys. It's nice to finally talk about how McDermott coached. We didn't coach with fear. We coached to win. We didn't kick field goals when we needed it. He kept the offense on the field. That's what I've been looking for in a coach. That's what I hope we continue to do. As a massive critic of McDermott, it was nice to finally sit back and see that he trusts his offense. He trusts Brady. He trusts Josh. And that's why we won. That's why we won yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dan. I'll point out, like, you can go to Ben Baldwin's site of ESPN, right? Ben Baldwin, ESPN. And check out fourth down decision making. How good is a team at making fourth down decisions? And if you want to do this, where how good are the Bills going for it when your slider is about win percentage and all that?
Mm-hmm.
The Bills are, even though, you know, people will say, I'm a McDermott critic, I think he's too conservative, one of the best at this. They are very good at this. And McDermott has been very good at this almost all the time. In the opener, when he kicked the field goal of death, it was surprising that he did that. The Bills rarely get it wrong when the call is to clearly go for it. And the fourth and two that they decided to go for, where Allen runs for the touchdown, was one of the easiest calls he'll make. If he or the Bills have their analytics staff using anything close to what the win probability says, it was easy. 4.5%. I don't think you could find McDermott giving up 4.5% anywhere in the last 3 years. He's relatively good at this. The other fourth down, they went for a fourth and two where Allen threw the interception. Mm-hmm. On that one, fourth and short. That one was a win percentage of 0.2, and I think it said punt. So that's, yeah. You want to talk about ultra aggressive. Ultra aggressive is that one. Just standard, again, I'm not trying to take credit away from him. I'm trying to contextualize and tell you the Bills are pretty good at that.
Yeah.
You never want to live where Mike Tomlin lives. Mike Tomlin will get his team beat in the playoffs because he's going to punt on fourth. And I mean, the game the Steelers played 2 weeks ago against Washington where they tried to get him offside and they did and then admitted they were going to punt. Tomlin was going to give up 15% win probability on that play. McDermott, I know maybe some people are a little slow to come around. He is pretty good at this. Maybe not always in every single time as aggressive as we all want, but relative to his peers, he's pretty good. Dan Campbell's good with this.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles tend to be good with this.
Yeah, I'm not any of the conservative nature. And is this right to point out? Like, it kind of all goes into the same criticism a lot of times, is the Bills wanting to run the ball and going to this run-first offense. And if you look at neutral pass rate, if the season ended today, the Bills would be the pass-happiest team in the playoffs. 55%. They rank sixth in the league. They would be the pass-happiest team to go to the playoffs if the season ended today. And didn't we spend the whole offseason talking about this is going to become a run-first team?
Yeah.
And they are running the ball more, but the league is so much higher, and the Bills have not increased their run rate as much as so many other teams that they are still one of the pass-happier teams.
I still want to use dropbacks instead of runs and passes because the Bills ran the ball poorly in this game. But if you include Josh Allen runs, then they ran fine.
Right.
And that's the case for a lot of these offenses. You want to know who the worst coach in the NFL is right now on giving up points on kicks and deciding to kick it away? It's not Pittsburgh.
Usually McVay's really bad at this. It's not him, though, is it?
The Patriots are the worst.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. By a lot.
Yeah.
That's not stunning. Gerard Mayo coaches more scared than anybody you've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Zach in West Seneca. Hey, Zach.
Hey, good morning. I'm calling on just want to stand for McDermott, man. 9-2 with in a transition year, and I think this is more his style. This reminded me, and I called and told you, Joe, this over the summer, this Bill team reminded me of the 2015 Panthers with a decent defense, a bunch of average shows at receiver. Obviously, you know, the Cooper thing changes things up. I thought you'd get a little bit more out of Kincaid, but this is a lot of, like, his 2017 job, where it's just like, all right, this is what I got, and I'm going to coach him up and, you know, put him in good position. He's not asking his safeties to do a ton. Like, you know, he's giving everything in front of him. It's just, I just feel like he gets a lot of criticism, and there's a lot of people who say things about him and they're wrong, and one of the things you just said, Jeremy, flies in the face of that. You know, he's awesome on fourth down. It helps he's got a coach there. His guy's name's Dennis Locke, whose job it is to put McDermott's ear the chances of, flipping the game in those positions. But, he's done everything but get the ring and win one or two more games in the playoffs every year. This is about as good a look as they have at it if you look at the rest of the AFC. I'm glad they never, like, moved off of him. If you look back from 6-6 last year with the Tyler Dunn hit piece through now, it's just an incredible job. The only call I have a problem with is to kick the field goal, you know, on 4th-and-9 in the playoffs. And the truth is, I blame Allen on that. If he'd have gotten them into a more manageable 4th down, maybe they'd have gone for it. That's it. You know, people want to say, well, he doesn't put the ball in Josh Allen's hands. It's not true. The last loss they had, they threw it 3 straight times with Josh Allen. If they didn't do that, they would have just ran the ball there against the Texans. I'm just a big believer in him, and sometimes it's just you don't win it until you win it. You know. Then last thing I want to say, the tight end position just drives me crazy. That I was all for Knox being, Kincaid being an upgrade over Knox. I wasn't worried in the least bit that Knox wouldn't step up this week because him and Allen have had games for what Allen likes to throw to a tight end. Knox is perfect for. I wonder if we can get more of him doing what he did prior to last year going forward. I don't want to say the Kincaid stuff isn't working, but it's not like robust, big plays. Onesie, twosies here or there, but nothing like real big that they thought maybe they'd be getting.
Yeah.
That's all I got. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. Yeah, that was one of the things about the Kincaid pick was that you ended up burying Dawson Knox, who had been a nice weapon for you for a couple of years. I mean, not like premier tight end. They paid him like one. And he came up big yesterday. He's come up, you know, after having one catch a game for a lot of the season, he has started to really contribute. And if Kincaid comes back, you'll think, all right, well, hey, good. You got one of your weapons back. But it often does come at the expense of Dawson Knox.
The caller mentions like how big a believer he is in McDermott. The question about McDermott this morning is not about him on fourth downs. It's not about pass to run. Like, it's to me, those are sideshows that just are never even true.
It's does he have an answer for Patrick Mahomes in the postseason?
Right.
Because he never has.
And how confident, if you're a big believer in McDermott right now, how confident are you that what you saw yesterday is what it's going to look like when they play in the playoffs? Because you could... Listen, you could make the case that it would look like that. If you want to do it, you could give the Bills a pass for the playoff meeting that they had this past January. Sal pointed out in pregame that The Bills had six starters on defense that day in January in the playoffs that aren't even on the team right now. It's a different defense. And we'll see by the time we get to the playoffs who's healthy.
Right.
But you could give them a pass. You could say A.J. Klein interrupted a trip in Disney to come off the bench and play for the Bills and cover Travis Kelce. Benford didn't play. Douglas was hurt. Go down the list. Are you a believer that was the first time they had played the Chiefs in the playoffs without the Tyreek Hill offense, right? Like the diminished Chiefs offense that isn't quite as good. It was the first time they had played them in the playoffs with that version, and they didn't have their guys. Are you a believer that what they did yesterday can be repeated? Because I feel like you could make the case that it will.
Sure. There's also the question whether or not that's their toughest opponent. I mean, Baltimore exists. Baltimore's out there. I don't know if the Chargers are a bad matchup. If it's
isn't Baltimore,
Pittsburgh,
I feel like the only other answer.
I don't know. I have not seen them play the Chargers. I've not seen them play the Steelers.
Yeah.
You watch them play the Ravens, they got hammered. It was a bad game script that went sideways. The thing that McDermott needs to get, whether it's McDermott or Bobby Babbage, you want in this conversation, the other guys in the AFC that we talk about, like Spagnuolo and Lou Anarumo, these guys have signature performances in the playoffs. McDermott's best one is probably going back. It's going to be the Lamar game.
Yeah.
And since then, I don't know that you really feel like you've had a signature defensive performance. Against Mason Rudolph, that's a one-score game for a lot of it.
Right.
Against Skylar Thompson, you know, it's not his fault. He didn't play a bad defense. But that game kind of got a little close, and they've had some escapes in the playoffs. They've not had where they just hammer down the New England game, I guess, the perfect game. But that's one where you're never going to get credit because your offense scores on every drive.
And it was Mac Jones.
Yeah, so McDermott's got an impressive resume. I think he's a good defensive coach. I think he gets a lot of credit for that. But
he needs to do what he did yesterday to the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Right.
That's the simple matter of it.
He's got a quarterback that everyone believes in the playoffs. And when you have that, your standard as the defensive coach is going to be, hey, if that guy lost, we think it's your fault. That's pretty much where he lives. Allen, the Cincinnati game, Bills put up 10 points. What do people remember? The defensive problems they had against Ja'Marr Chase. How backed off they were on a 3rd-and-1.
Yep.
The Bills scored 10 points that day. He also had a punt that wasn't that great. 803-0550. But I think he's a good coach. And yesterday on the pregame show, one of the things Matt Ryan said was, you know, they're all talking up there. He basically says, the Bills are going to win a championship with McDermott now. That's Matt Ryan's opinion. Who knows if he's right? Chris Brown, when we get back. Good day. A victory Monday. Talking Bills and taking your phone calls.
And apparently Tommy DeVito is now the quarterback of the New York Giants. I've got Rappaport saying it too.
Tanking.
Can we not tank yet, Giants? I need Malik Nabers for some fantasy playoffs coming up.
That's a tank.
Jeez.
That is a tank.
That's a pretty obvious one, isn't it?
Maybe. Hey, listen. Some team, or two, should be smart about this.
About tanking?
Yeah. There are five teams with two wins. Jacksonville. Why fire Peterson? Let's just quit on the season.
Right.
And then reap the rewards of someone trading to number one, get a bunch of picks, and go. Jeremy and Joe, it is Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
The snap, back to pass, looking left, and he's got Knox, and he catches it at the 32-yard line. Forced out of bounds there by Chanel, the linebacker.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Brown's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women.
Allen has to throw it wide open. It's Samuel scampering to the end zone, and he's in for the touchdown. Well, welcome to the end zone, Curtis Samuel. A 12-yard touchdown reception. His first as a Buffalo Bill.
Highlights of the game brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. Train for what's next. We'll talk with Chris Brown, who had the call of the Bills' win over the Chiefs here on Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Chris, we've had a lot of Josh Allen highlights. You want to rank that number one, top five? I mean, it's an iconic run, at least in the context of this season.
Yeah, it's up there. And maybe because of the game in which it was played, it could very well easily be up for consideration for his best. That run reminded me of one he had against Jacksonville as a rookie late in the season, where he stiff-armed a defensive end and ran over a defensive back as well. And that run may have been even a little bit longer than the one yesterday, but that was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And look, I don't know why. And Nick Bolton is, you know, a guy that is a hard-hitting linebacker. I mean, he's unbelievable in the run front for them. And when I saw that matchup coming, I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. But he didn't have the angle to really bring his full weight into the tackle. And so it was just shocking to me just watching Josh, like, shrug him off like he was a fly on his arm. You know, and then Brian Cook tries to tackle him high, and I'm just like, well, that's a mistake. So, you know, then he's into the end zone. It's just – he's ridiculous. He's one of one.
When did you think he was going to score? I don't know if you saw it on the replay or if you even saw it live, but Mac Hollins is celebrating when Allen is at the 20. I don't know that many thought he was that he was that confident that early, but he's because he's so big, Chris, like when he's moving that fast, for me maybe it was like at the 5 though. It's like when his momentum starts getting close, like he's just so hard to bring down that you like you just kind of mentioned on Bolton. You got to have the perfect angle, and you got to be ready to tackle him. Because if you just get a piece of Josh Allen, you're not taking him down.
Right, and I think we all know the ultimate competitor that Josh is. I was very focused on that play on the first down marker, and he's still pumping his arm like he's going to throw it as he gets to the line of scrimmage. And I'm just focused on, is he past the first down marker? Okay, it's a first down. And then I'm like, oh, he's got some room here. And once he has a head of steam, it's very hard to deny him. And knowing the circumstances of the game, and look, by the way, let's give Sean McDermott some credit here too, right? Like the conventional play there is to kick the field goal. But I think everybody in the building, including Coach McDermott, knew up 5 and giving the ball back to Mahomes with 2 minutes is a death sentence. And he trusted number 17, and number 17 made him look really good.
Chris Brown on the Western Hotline chatting about this game from yesterday. Allen looked good. The receivers in this game, you know, Dawson Knox able to step up and Amari Cooper's return. He's had a couple of nice games here for the Bills, a couple of big catches for him. You know, they're missing a couple of big pieces, but Allen able to find things and, you know, enough easy button throws, enough yak plays. It kind of looks like, you know, this Bills offense has found what it's been searching for a couple of years with other guys to shoulder a little bit more of the passing game from Josh.
Yeah, I was kind of number crunching this week their third down conversion rate, which has surged in the last month. I mean, they were languishing around 25th in the league in third down conversion percentage just over a month ago. Coming into this week's game, they had already raised that ranking to 15th in the league by going 50% conversion or better each of the last 3 weeks. But this week it was the Chiefs and a very good defense, probably one of the best three defenses in the league. And they go over 50% conversion yesterday in a game where running the football was supremely difficult. So to see them execute on the money down as well as they did against a defense of this caliber is very impressive. And to your point, different guys are contributing on third down. Yes, we all know Shakir is the money player, old reliable, as I call him, and he had some big third down conversions in the game yesterday, but he was not alone. Mac Hollins, only catch of the game, goes for a huge first down. And there were other guys. I mean, Curtis Samuel has a single game high five receptions yesterday and scores a touchdown. So he emerges when other people are down. And so I asked Joe Brady this in our pregame interview on the Bills Radio Network. I said, when you're getting this level of distribution with different guys giving you conversions on third down, how much more difficult is your offense to defend? And he said, we expect people to focus on Shakir, but we have many other people that can deliver on that money down, and we're seeing it.
And that was happening right from the get-go. Cooper with a couple of plays down the field, Samuel as well. I mean, really, Chris, it's maybe even more impressive they were able to have that game without any semblance of the run game and also missing both Coleman and Kincaid.
Right, and the fact that they also went 3-for-4 in the red zone without Kincaid and Coleman, who are big, big targets in that area of the field, I think says something as well. And here's the one that really shocks me, guys. So I already mentioned the run game was a struggle, but they never went away from the run game and went all air it out. And that's what Brian Daboll or Ken Dorsey might have done in the past. And Joe Brady did not. And you say, well, why do you keep beating your head against the wall? Fourth quarter, they start running play action on first down and get some critical plays with the Chiefs biting on it because they never strayed away from it. And then you look at the bottom of the stat sheet at the end of the game, and the Chiefs, who are number one in the league in time of possession, have the ball for 26 minutes and change, and it's the Bills with 34 minutes of possession time. That made a difference in the game, too.
Defensively, Chris, they forced turnovers, yes, but also four punts. You know, against the Chiefs, I'm always thinking about how they can get failed drives out of Mahomes. And four punts, a couple of turnovers. They had a game plan. They didn't get beat by Travis Kelce. It was worthy early. And this narrative or whatever, this idea that the Bills are feeling things out in the first half only to then lock it up in the second half, I feel like it's getting easier to buy with each passing week.
Yeah, because it keeps happening. It keeps happening. And look, Bobby Babich and the defensive staff do an excellent job of finding out what they're trying to do, and they have answers each and every week, and they make it supremely difficult. For anyone that forgot, the Chiefs are the best third down conversion team in football. And look, they still converted 50%. I think they went 5 of 10 yesterday. But I think the biggest difference was the Bills weren't letting them get first downs without even getting to third down. You remember the playoff game last year, the Chiefs were 1-for-5 on third down, but they only had five
third downs
in the game, which means they didn't even get to third down half the time. When you see them up around 10, 12, 14 third down opportunities, that means the defense is winning on first and second down, and they did a good enough job of that yesterday. And then, of course, the takeaways, it's just unbelievable. 11 straight games. Every game this season they've had takeaways. And again, they finished yesterday plus one with the Bernard pick at the end of the game.
Feels like a good time for a bye week.
No, amen to that. Amen to that. But there are some bodies hanging. You know, Sal interviewed Curtis Samuel on the field right after the game ended. So we threw it down to him, and he asked him about the bye week. And Curtis was even saying himself, he goes, I really need the bye week. My body's hanging right now. And I think this is a well-timed bye week. I think you get anything between week 9 and week 12. It's really an ideal time to let the bodies heal up, and then you can really just kind of sprint to the finish, you know, knowing you've only got 6 games left in the regular season. I think it's a well-timed bye for this team.
Chris Brown on the Western Hotline. Chris, thanks very much, and we'll chat heading into San Francisco.
All right, guys, take it easy.
Bills and the Niners on Sunday Night Football after the bye week. Chris' appearance brought to you by his appearance on WGR brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and by Lockport Outdoor Store, high impact gear for hardworking men and women.
It'll be a big one for the Niners. They're in last in their division.
Who do they play this week?
They are at Green Bay.
Okay.
So, like, I mean, they better get it together before they play the Bills, maybe even. Hey, let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills. Enter now, WGR550.com. Chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating costs. Contest ends on January 5th. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence. Powering tomorrow, comforting today.
Here's the snap, back to pass, blitz coming. They pick it up. Allen hit as he throws. He's got Cooper, who pulled it in. Did he get both feet down? They say yes. And the chance of Coop go up from the crowd, a 25-yard pass play as he beat Nazi Johnson.
Guys staying ready. I know Curtis hasn't had the amount of success that he's wanted in this offense so far, but he's been as consistent as possible. He works his tail off. I trust him implicitly. You know, I threw the ball and I got flipped upside down, and as I was getting up, I put my hands up because I knew he was going to score. Sometimes it's your day, and we're going to have to utilize him going forward because when he has the ball in his hands, he's very, very dangerous playmaker, and I just commend him for how hard he's been working and the composure that he's had throughout the entire season.
Josh Allen on Curtis Samuel. Slice of audio brought to you by Picasso's Pizza, your game day tailgating headquarters. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Victory Monday. Off to the bye week now, so a lot of time to sit and stew on that Bills win over Kansas City. Need them to lose a game, and the Bills would have to be perfect. So you might need them to lose two games. They play Denver?
Yes.
They play Pittsburgh?
I said this when Howard picked the Bills once, that they would lose three more games. I think I would want to hold to it that they're going to lose two more.
Okay. They need to find two more. They play Carolina next.
Not confident about that one, though.
Not so much. But anyway, they could also just lose a game in the divisional round. And if the Bills are the
they
two.
Can do that.
Which, maybe we should be looking at that.
Them losing in the divisional round?
No, just the chase for the one seed is great. I can't, in the New York Times playoff machine, punch in the two seed, I don't think.
I don't think you can.
Because that would be kind of nice if I could. Yeah, I can. Number two seed. All right.
Oh, okay.
Because the number two seed has value, of course, being at home. You get the weakest playoff team. If it's just like the 13 seconds here where, you know, if you go out and win and the one seed loses, you get to host. Mm-hmm. So you could root for the Chiefs to get knocked off and then host the AFC Championship game here. Bills right now have a 37% chance of the two seed.
Okay.
So.
And I think the only other team with any shot is Pittsburgh. That has like an 8% chance. And then the rest is for Kansas City.
Yeah, pretty much. Because Baltimore's not going to miss the playoffs.
No, but they might be a wild card team. They might be going on the road.
Right. Right now, Baltimore is 30% to win the division, 65% to host to be a wild card team.
The games I'm looking at for the Chiefs to find two losses: Chargers, Texans, Steelers, Broncos. I need them to go 2-2 in that 4-game stretch.
Yeah.
And they have 3 games in 10 days in the middle there. So
they play on Black Friday and on Christmas. So we will have to watch them.
Yes, we will.
The Black Friday game is home against the Raiders. On Christmas, they're in Pittsburgh.
They go, so this one, they have a 1 o'clock game against Carolina. Then it's Black Friday against the Raiders. It's Sunday night against the Chargers. 1 o'clock against the, then they have a couple 1 o'clock games and then Christmas. So three standalone games.
They could lose to the Chargers. The Chargers are good.
Yes, they could.
That's Around the League, brought to you by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. Open segment, let's talk about it. What you got from the win, what you're taking from it, what it means to you. 803-0550, it's Victory Monday on WGR.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.